With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, James here, one of your top two favourite presenters of the Eurotrip podcast. I just thought I'd pop on to say that in about 10 or 15 minutes time, you're going to hear us doing the news. And you might wonder, why on earth haven't they mentioned the fact that Montenegro is going to return to Eurovision in 2022? Why aren't they talking about that? Well, it's because we recorded on Tuesday morning, and I'd say about 2, maybe 3 minutes after we'd pressed the stop button, after we'd finished recording, the news broke and we thought, oh, well, we've done it all now. So just thought it was easier for me to pop on at the beginning and just let you know that. So when you do hear the news, you understand why we don't mention it. But anyway, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Eurotrip.
When you aren't listening, you can find us on social media.
We're at Eurotrip Podcast.
Warming you up for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. Now, before we get on with today's episode, let me tell you that today we're sponsored by the exciting new Eurovision exhibition based in Húsavík, Iceland.
As you know, the tiny Icelandic town found fame in the story of Fire Saga, the Eurovision film released on Netflix back in 2020. Since then, fans from around the world have wanted to travel to Iceland to see the setting for the smash hit film.
Now, if the stunning scenery alone isn't enough to make you want to travel there, an exhibition is set to open in the town, showcasing the history of the Eurovision Song Contest, Iceland's participation, as well as some of the most memorable props and memorabilia from the film itself.
Now, to find out more, make sure you check them out on Twitter, at Eurohusovic. But let's get on with the podcast.
As Jón Ólafsson always said, take it away.
Hi! We are Davi Ogakamagnir, and you're listening to Eurotrip.
I don't close any doors. I love Eurovision, I love Melodifestivalen, and it will always be a part of me.
That night, I found myself live on Russian state television for Russia's Song for Europe.
I said to Joe, send BBC Teenage Life. Maybe 2 weeks later, I was at a press conference and I was on Making Your Mind Up.
Everyone was like, Eldar, come, celebrate with us.
The end of filming, they put honey on my face and I needed to be, you know, sexy with this honey on my face.
Hi there, my name is Martin Østerdahl. I am the executive supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. You are listening to Eurotrip.
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast with me, James.
Me, Rob. And James, before you go on, nice of you to join us this week.
Oh, come on. You can't get to that so early on. The fact that I was just so busy that you decided alone to do the emergency podcast. But thank you. People love just hearing you solo.
The emergency podcast, of course, that James is referring to, if you haven't heard it yet, is something we released on Friday when we found out that Turin was hosting Eurovision next year. You can go back and listen if you haven't already. Mark Lowen, the BBC's Rome correspondent, joined us on the podcast. Doesn't get much better than that. So make sure you go back, check that out on Friday, and just find out actually how well things go without James. So this could be the last podcast we do together. Who knows? But anyway, it's wonderful to be back together again. We've got the band back together again for this regular episode as we start building up to Turin 2022.
Yep, so if the emergency episode wasn't enough to get you up to date on all things Turin 2022, then we've got another Italian guest for you today, Cristina Giuntini. She's the president of OGAE Italy. We'll be catching up with her again to find out what the mood is in Italy this week.
And we've got another of the Eurovision class of 2021 as we get their reflections on everything that happened in Rotterdam. This week, it's Jean-Guy McCroy. He, of course, represented the home nation, the Netherlands. And here's something he told me in the interview about a touching, heartwarming message he received when he got home.
When I got home, there was this letter on my front door, and it was from my neighbor. It was a very personal message about how he connected to the song and how he was talking about it all the time, and that it really inspired him and that it showed him that it's okay not to, you know, to be different.
Lovely to hear that from Jean-Guy, but we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
Sounds very exciting when you say that, doesn't it? The build up to Eurovision 2022, as we mentioned in the intro there, now that we finally know that we'll be going to Turin in May next year. James, the Airbnb's booked. Are you excited?
God, I'm so excited now. It's been so long, hasn't it? We're normally used to host cities being announced August, September time. Italy, of course, do things a bit differently and leave it to the beginning of October just to keep one tent to hook. But great that we finally know where we're going. And a country and a city I've never been to. What about you, Rob?
A country you've never been to? You've never been to Italy?
Never been. So it's going to be a first time visit for me in May next year. Presumably you have been to Italy, but not Turin.
I've been to Bologna and I've been to Florence. So, of course, with Bologna being one of the candidate cities, I both wanted it to go there because I've been and it was great, but I also wanted somewhere different because not been to Turin before. Very exciting. I only got more excited about it after Friday's episode, speaking to the guests that we did. One thing that is more exciting than anything else, however, is the Airbnb sleeping situation, which I think may involve me and you sharing a bed.
Oh, what a dream that is. It's an upgrade, is it, from the last time I think we shared a room together was the infamous bunk bed situation. We've now upgraded to the hopefully king-size double bed, is it?
I've got some bad news for you. It's not a king-size. It's a queen-size, which I think is a bit smaller. So be a little bit more cosy. So me, you will be very friendly by the time we get to the end of Eurovision next year. That's for sure.
What a dream that is. What a dream. Shall we, just trying to get the image of us two sharing a bed out of people's minds now, I'm going to try and distract them with something else. Shall we look back at last week's episodes? Good to be back with the main episodes, the usual format that you're used to after we did the contest and me, of course, over the summer. Fergus on Twitter, he's at Unique Fergus. Great username, Fergus.
I don't know any others, to be fair.
Well, that is true, actually. I don't know any more Fergus, so maybe he is the one and only. So Fergus, thanks for getting in touch. He said, another great show. Have to agree with the Black Mamba that they deserved so much better this year. Well, a 12th place finish is pretty decent for Portugal.
It is. I mean, some would say their best ever Eurovision result, wouldn't they? Some people would say that.
Yeah, did you have to bring that up? And also, I presume you've got a tweet on your end from somebody else who called me out on that.
I did, yeah. Thank you very much to Timmy Douzepoint, as I'm calling him, which is a great name. He tweeted us after he'd done a half marathon. He said, managed to finish my very first half marathon yesterday. I think this was over the weekend. 2 hours in 4 minutes and 21 seconds. Well done, Timmy. I'd do it in about 2 days, 4 hours and 21 seconds. Christ. He said, struggled through by listening to Eurotrip podcast. Thanks, guys. Although you did make me laugh, especially James Rowe, who almost made him fall over by claiming that Black Mamba was Portugal's best result since the 1990s.
Oh, I'm never going to live that down, am I? Although I did explain where the error came from. So if you're listening going, how on earth did he think that? Go back and listen. It was after the interview with Black Mamba. I did explain my reasoning behind that. But thanks, Tim, for calling me out on that one. But also a couple more tweets. Jamie, thanks for getting in touch, saying, so glad the Eurotrip is back. I missed it so much. Well, we missed it as well. It's good to be back, looking back at 2021, looking ahead to 2022. And Pete as well, at Pete of the North on Twitter, saying, great to have the boys back with the Eurotrip. Was really trying not to engage with Eurovision until the new year, though. Well, sadly, Pete, here you are. We're going to be with you all the way through until May next year.
Yeah, bad news, Pete. Got a lot of weeks between now and Turin, and me and James will be intruding on your weekly podcast listening between now and then. So apologies for that. Laura, she got in touch. This was about Friday's episode as we got the news that Turin would be hosting Eurovision, the special episode. And James, you put up a great video of Mark Lowen when he was chatting to me. And it was a history of Turin in just 70 seconds. Well, Laura quote tweeted it and she said, really brings back my A-level history. It's quite niche A-level history to do the history of the northern Italian city of Turin. Italy's first capital. I mean, I don't know. I did the Second World War in my A-level history. So Turin didn't really come up very often. But each to their own, I suppose. And Laura, thank you for listening.
Indeed. And if you are listening now thinking, oh, God, these sound naff. These two sound abysmal. Or these two sound fantastic and I love what they're doing. Please do get in touch. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Or to send us an essay about how much you love us so much, it's hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email.
You know what this means by now. It is time for the very latest news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. Very quickly before we get to that, if you're thinking that actually Rob and James do sound a bit different this week and you can't work out why, well, there's a couple of things. We're recording in the morning, which we never do, and we're probably quite slow creatures, usually, I would say. You've had a black coffee, I've had a tea and a banana, so we're just about waking up, but you're welcome, everybody. And also, I'm recording somewhere completely different because I'm on holiday, but I still wanted to join James on the podcast this week because, as we know from last week, some of us are more dedicated to this podcast than others.
Yeah, you don't trust me alone is what you're trying to say on that one. No, nor would I, to be honest with you. But you are in a single bedroom in the Lake District and you've got a creature with you.
Wow, in my bedroom, a creature joins me live from my bedroom. Yeah, James is right. I'm on holiday in the Lake District at the moment. Just me and my parents. It's like I'm 12 years old again. It's nice, though. I'm in a single bed. So again, like I'm at home. And yeah, on the bedside table, which is what I'm currently balancing the microphone on, I've also discovered there's a wooden rabbit. There he is. I think he may be Beatrix Potter related, but if any of you want a wooden rabbit, maybe we can auction him off. Actually, that means I'm going to steal him. If anyone's listening, I'm not going to steal him. Anyway, Eurovision News, should we do that?
Let's do that. I mean, there's only one story dominating the headline, so I hope you've found something else in and around the world of Eurovision over the last 7 days. But I'll let you take it away, as they used to say.
Very good. Nicely done. Yeah, we will get to Turin a little bit later on in the Eurovision News. There is mention of it. But we're going to start with Greece. And 25 artists have reportedly applied to take part in Eurovision 2022. It's expected that Greece will choose their artist internally via a jury, although we expect a national final may appear for Eurovision 2023. We can't talk about Eurovision 2023 already. The artists in Greece, who apparently have expressed their interest in representing the country, are Elias Kozas, who represented them at Eurovision 2013, Konstantinos Christoforou, who has already represented both Greece and Cyprus at Eurovision, the most recent winner of The Voice of Greece, as well as Evangelina, who's been put forward by Greek and Cypriot record label Panic Records. Now, over in Serbia, apparently over 100 songs have been submitted to their selection process. The broadcaster RTS are aiming for around 30 songs to compete in their televised selection. Now here's your Turin klaxon. Over in the host city of Eurovision 2022, the Italian media are reporting that the Eurovillage will be based in the Piazza San Carlo. Now that square took on a similar role during last year's ATP Tennis World Tour finals. So get looking on your map, see where your hotel or your Airbnb is, and just see how far away you might be from the Eurovision village. Last week, Dami Im cast more doubt on whether she wants to return to the Eurovision Song Contest, having previously announced plans to return. You might remember James asked her about this when we spoke to her back in January. Now, she's been talking about it again. She, of course, was due to take part in Australia Decides 2021 before the show was cancelled, and now says she isn't sure if she's ready for another big commitment like Eurovision. In Paris, the steering group of the Junior Eurovision Song Contest and executive supervisor Martin Osterdahl have visited the venue of December's show. The delegations were given a tour of the venue for the contest, La Scène Musicale, as well as the French capital. And finally, Daddy Freya and Gagne Magnid's Eurovision 2020 entry, Think About Things, is to feature in a video game. It's going to feature in Just Dance 2022. So, James, get your dancing shoes on.
Honestly, the next time we see each other, which I imagine may well be in Paris in December, shall we bring Just Dance along and have a little bit of a competition between ourselves?
I think we definitely should. I reckon so. I mean, it'd be one way to keep warm. We were talking about our trip to Paris earlier on and we said, there's one thing we'll definitely guarantee from that trip. It'll be quite chilly.
It'll keep us warm nonetheless. Thanks for the news as well, by the way, Rob. Loads there. What did you cover? Greece, Serbia, Paris, Iceland? You covered quite a lot there, including, of course, Turin in Italy. I think we've said it about 600 times already on the episode. Turin, of course, is set to host Eurovision 2022. And we have to speak to another Italian to get some more update on how that's going, how people are feeling in Italy ahead of their first hosting of the contest in over 30 years. Now, you may remember back in May, we spoke to Christina Giuntini. She is, of course, the president of OGAE Italy, one of my worst things I have to say, because every time I try and say OGAE, I seem to struggle, but both times so far, it's gone fairly well.
As we said earlier on, just call it a fan club. Just be so much easier, wouldn't it? Just call yourself the Italian Eurovision fan club.
Honestly, it would make things 10 times easier. But we spoke to her back in May, in the days following Måneskin's victory in Rotterdam. And the first question I asked her there was, how do you reflect on their win at the contest? So I thought, a few months have passed, so let's start with the very same question. Now that we are in October, the summer has been and gone. Christina, has it now sunk in that Italy has won the Eurovision Song Contest?
Oh my God. I really can't tell you how it feels because I'm still so confused after our victory. I mean, and then, as you know, I will play a small role in the organization, I think, of the Eurofan Cafe, but we'll see. And I am already going crazy. I really feel overwhelmed by all the things that have happened so far. We will do our best. We'll see, but I'm really, really, really confused.
I can tell by your voice you're a little bit frustrated and so stressed by the whole occasion. Give us an idea about what it's been like for you as the president of OGAE Italy over the last few months, because I imagine you've had so many new members wanting to join.
That's true. We've had a lot of requests and it's quite stressed as well because it's getting quite like a job. And okay, we have so many requests and we are trying to welcome everyone because our purpose is to get people to know the Eurovision Song Contest as good as possible and to make new friends and to enlarge our community. So we are very, very happy about new members wanting to join OGEA Italy.
And it just shows, doesn't it, the amount of new people wanting to join, it just shows what impact Måneskin and an Italian win at the contest has had on people in Italy. Give us an idea about overall about the impact of Måneskin's victory in Italy.
Huge, absolutely huge, because Måneskin are really, really loved by young people. And they are on every newspaper, every magazine, every website. So Måneskin winning the Eurovision Song Contest has really driven everyone crazy. So this is very, very important. And it's not so common for Italy to have international stars like them.
Shall we talk about Turin? Of course, we got the news last week that Turin is the city that has been chosen for Eurovision 2022. Now, I know you're in Florence and you would have ideally liked to have seen that. That would have been great news for you personally. But how do you react to the news that Turin is the host city?
Well, it's a great city. First of all, I think they have the best organization. They are used to such events, so they will handle it, I think, in a great way. And also Turin has a lot of artistic beauties, but it's not really the first city you would go to if you think about Italy. So I suppose they could do with a bit of touristic promotion. They have lots of beautiful things to see. And maybe people will discover them. I mean, going to the contest or watching the contest on TV and having a look at what you can see in Turin. You always think of Turin like something like Milan. You think of this city as a place where you go to work. But it's more than that. There's more to that. You know, I think that people who come to Eurovision, come to see it live. We'll have a great experience as well in visiting the city and visiting the surroundings. And I think Turin will surprise everyone.
Well, I, for one, am very excited to see what Turin has to offer. It's certainly a city that I'd love to go to. So hopefully when May comes around next year, we can make that happen. In terms of other things that are going on in Italy at the moment, as people try and find out what they can about the organisation of Eurovision 2022, people are looking at the hosts, the presenters of the actual shows next May. We've seen a couple of names floating about. Mika is one of them. Alessandro Catalan is another one. Give us an idea from your perspective about those two as potential hosts. What do you think?
Why not? I mean, someone is saying, but Mika is not Italian. Well, but I mean, I would consider him Italian because he's been living in Milan for a while. He speaks Italian. And so why not? I mean, he's so, how do you say, so lively, it's great. I mean, he knows about music, he knows how to host an event. I've seen him live, he's so, such a nice person and such a, he has a charisma, and that's it. And Alessandro Catalan, I mean, he's hosted quite a lot of TV shows, he's fluent in English, and that's very important, I think.
Well, let's wait and see. Can you give us any other names? Is there any other names that are in the back of your head or that maybe I don't know, and maybe some of our other listeners don't know, but maybe in a few months' time when they announce the host, we'll go, ah, that's who Christina said on the podcast. Have you got any other ideas?
They were speaking about Chiara Ferragni. I think everybody knows her. She's an influencer and she's Fedez's wife. I think she would be good as well. Or maybe Emma Stoccolma. Someone will remember her because she was in Tel Aviv with our television, and she did a good job, I think. With those, she made some clips for the afternoon programs. And she was great, and she could be good as well. Or maybe, who knows, maybe some singer. I would love, for example, say Tiziano Ferro. He hosted a music show some years ago. He was perfect by me, and he's really, really fluent in English because he lives in London. So I would propose his name. Why not?
Well, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. And if any of them are right, we'll come back and say, well done. Congratulations, Christina. You were the one who was correct. Now then, one last quick one from me. Give us an idea about how busy or how stressful your life's going to be over the next few months leading up to Eurovision next year. Presumably, it's going to be very busy. You're laughing at me already because clearly you're very stressed already.
I don't want to think about it. I think it will be something between heaven and hell. Heaven because in Italy is heaven, but hell because it will be hell for me.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's got the fingers tightly crossed that everything that you've got planned over the next few months and weeks and all sorts goes to plan. Christina, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll chat again before Turin, but thank you again for joining us today for a chat.
And thank you for having me. It's always wonderful to chat with you.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on social media. We're at Eurotrip Podcast.
Now, of course, we'll be hearing from another of the Eurovision class of 2021 in just a second. Jongu McCroy joins us on the podcast, and we'll get to that shortly. But first, this week's episode of the Eurotrip is brought to you by the exciting new Eurovision exhibition based in Húsavík, Iceland. The setting, of course, for the Netflix film Eurovision, The Story of Fire Saga.
Now, the exhibition opens this month before the big opening next March. And if you scroll back in your podcast feed, you can find out a little bit more about it in our episode we did about 2 weeks ago to find out a little bit more. But first, each week, we're going to do our best to teach each other and, of course, you a little bit of Icelandic.
Now, last week, of course, we had the word flugvöllur. James, can you remember what flugvöllur means?
Fingers crossed. Did it mean airport?
It did. So if you're on your way back after going to the exhibition, you could ask somebody for directions to the flugvöllur, potentially. Now, these are all, hopefully, words that you might find helpful. James, it's your turn this week. What word have you got for me?
So the word I've got for you this week to try and figure out, I think it's a bit of a difficult one, but let's see how you do. My word is Ligubish.
Ligubish?
Which also doesn't look like how it's written down either, but I promise you that's at least how the Google Translate lady said it.
Which must be accurate. Ligabish, I'm going to say, is a lovely delicacy in Iceland, which is some sort of stewed cabbage soup.
Well, if I saw you ordering this in a restaurant, I'd be thoroughly amazed if you could even take one bite out of it, because it's not a dish, it's not something you would order in a restaurant. It is, in fact, the word for taxi. Of course, you probably would need one of those or a few to shuttle around the island that is Iceland. And that's the word. Let me say it again for you. Ligubish.
So you could get a ligubish to the flugvöllur.
I did make it deliberately to tie in with last week's word. We'll have a sentence by the end of the next 6 weeks or so.
So it won't be that useful, but we will give you one sentence in a few weeks' time. Anyway, stay tuned next week. You'll get another very helpful, or less so, as the case may be, Icelandic word. However, you definitely should make the trip to the Eurovision exhibition in Iceland. We keep saying it opens this month. It opens on Friday, which is very exciting. Who knows? By the time you listen to this, it might already be open. Now, the exhibition includes a history of Iceland at Eurovision. There's also another dedicated Fire Saga room featuring props from the movie. And then the cherry on top of the cake, this exhibit is opening in a few months' time. It's a room dedicated to Eurovision itself.
It's a Eurovision fan's dream, isn't it, this sort of place? And even more excitingly, they are after contributions from you as well. So if you've got any pictures of any of your favourite Eurovision memories, maybe a trip to the contest or you meeting an act, then you can send them over to eurovision@husavik.com and you could be featured in the exhibition itself. How exciting is that? And also make sure you check them out and follow them on Twitter. They are at Eurohusavik. Now then, let's get back to the podcast.
You are listening to The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. We don't just say that because me and James think it's the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. We know it is. We know you're out there listening. We know that you take the Eurotrip with you wherever you go. Maybe you've gone for a walk. Maybe you're having your dinner. Maybe you're ironing some clothes, as James's grandma often does when she's listening. Hello, James's grandma, if you're listening once again. It was lovely to see you last week. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, James's grandma just appeared in the back of his little video screen that I'm looking at him on there. It was lovely to see a little face. Did she listen to the episode, do you know?
Well, I don't think so, given I've not had a WhatsApp message from her yet or a phone call or anything. So maybe in a few weeks' time. I think she's a bit slow at listening to them. I think she's got a few to catch up on. So in a few weeks' time, maybe she will well have listened. And she, I don't know if her heart will take it knowing that she's on the podcast, you know.
She's going to binge the podcast. Like some people binge Netflix shows. Your grandma, she binges episodes of Eurotrip, which is fair enough. Maybe you do at home too. Don't forget, though, as well, if you want to get in touch, we are at Eurotrip Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to send us an email, we'd love an email. hello@eurotrippodcast.com. Maybe you're going to get in touch about this week's big guest because, James, last week we heard from the first of the class of Eurovision 2021 that we spoke to. I think it's a Eurovision there. Eurovision was the word I was trying to say. Who was, James, remind me, who did we speak to last week? It was the Black Mamba.
Yes, it was Portugal's best result since 1994, as we all famously know by now. Great to hear from Pedro and Miguel, who were joining us live from Lisbon. Well, not live. You know what I mean? It's a podcast. It can't be live, but you get what I mean. It sounds good, doesn't it? But this week, we've got another act from the grand final of Eurovision 2021 up in Rotterdam, over in Rotterdam, down in Rotterdam. Across.
I would say, geographically, what I mean, you were talking down and right.
Southeast.
Southeast of us.
Yes.
Anyway, that's irrelevant, isn't it? That's definitely. Right, everybody. It's Jean-Guy McCroy, someone who definitely should know where the Netherlands is geographically based, because he lives there and was representing them at Eurovision in Rotterdam. Now, when James spoke to him before the contest last year, I was very taken with his bright yellow jumper, which unfortunately he wasn't wearing for this interview. That makes it sound like he wasn't wearing clothes. He was wearing clothes. He was just wearing a hoodie. He'd chosen comfort, I think. Now, it was brilliant to speak to him because, of course, there is so much to talk to him about. We had a chat about what's still to come from him. He's got some new music coming out very, very soon. We also reflected on that difficult moment in the grand final. Of course, he was one of the four acts that got nil point from the televoters as well. But he gives a really lovely answer to that and is very, very grateful for all of the support he received at Eurovision. But I started by asking him how he reflects on the contest, but also what he did immediately after Rotterdam's edition had concluded.
When Eurovision ended, I told my management that I wanted like the whole summer off because I just really needed some space to relax and just to let all the pressure and the stress just, you know, leave my body and just enjoy a summer of freedom and just enjoying rest. And in that period of time when I was like relaxing, a wave of inspiration hit me, actually the way it did, like when I, you know, before Eurovision, you almost forget what it's like to make music without like the pressure of like a competition and like everything about that. But it was like, it was just creativity was just flowing in a very natural way. And I connected with a friend of mine who I've known since I moved here in 2014. And we just started making music. So right now I'm putting the finishing touches on my third studio album.
I'll ask you about the new single as well a little bit later on. But you mentioned almost how liberating it was not to have the pressure of a competition, because of course you had that for 2 years. So how difficult was it to have that kind of over your head for such a long period of time?
Well, how difficult was it? It was like Eurovision was many things at the same time. It was amazing. I enjoyed every second of it. It was and I was so thankful that it actually happened at the time that it happened, because what other events, you know, international events at that level were happening in the world? Like the whole world was still dealing with the pandemic and in lockdown and everything, and we got to experience that, and that was a very special thing. And it was also because it was postponed, you know, the moment we were in Rotterdam, it's just everybody was so full of enthusiasm and excitement, and my team was so passionate about everything. So, but it was also, of course, like lots of pressure to deal with. And I got through it because of my team, because they were so, I felt very looked after. I felt very safe. I felt very loved, actually, by the team also. But and we had a good time. But like I'd forgotten how it was, you know, because Eurovision was like not 1 year but 2 years. Yeah.
And what about the pressure as well of being in that unique position of being the home representative? You know, of representing the host nation. That must have been both, as you say, amazing, but it's a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility as well.
It's a lot of responsibility also. I think the thing that helped is that it was in my home country, and you know, the people working at the venue, the audience, everybody was like from home, and that felt like a warm hug every time I stepped on the stage, and there was like, and there were people who were rooting for me, and it actually inspired me to just work even harder for it, and it reminded me of how special it actually is to represent a country. Pressure, but also a very special and unique experience.
We talked to obviously a lot of the artists at the time, and we talked about how rigorous everything was, and you know, just how intense you had kind of testing and bubbles and everything like that. How do you look back on that time now? You know, it's probably all a bit of a blur, getting tested however many times you did a day and being in the hotel room for however long you're in the hotel room.
Like, honestly, it feels like it was like 3 years ago. You know, right? Actually, I was back at the venue in Rotterdam just a couple of weeks ago to, because I was in the jury of the Junior Song Festival national rounds here, and it was very nice to be back. It reminded me a bit of like, you know, that whole, you know, machine of like going into the bubble and then testing and then the way to the stage. It's just really nice memories.
Because all of the artists, of course, of 2021, because you all had to go through the same thing, but it was so different to other contests that had come before. Do you think that bonded you closer?
You know, one of the things about this Eurovision experience that I maybe thought, oh, that's a pity, actually, because everybody was so because everybody was in their own bubble, and everybody was afraid of getting infected by the virus, and especially when like the virus started spreading, you know, I feel like I didn't really get to make a really strong connection with everybody on a personal level. I didn't get to make friends, and that's the only thing that I think of as like, oh, that's too bad. But like the last day, like the day of the final, I think that was the time that everybody felt more together, and especially like after they announced the winner, Måneskin. There was this moment when like the pressure of the competition and just the competitiveness like fell away. And there was this moment where everybody was like walking up to each other and hugging each other and like, you know, giving each other compliments. And that was one of the most touching moments for me, because it was like, oh yeah, we did this, right? We were part of this. And that was a really nice moment.
Switzerland has got, from the public,
The was, of course, as well, a really special moment of camaraderie, probably one that you didn't want. But on the night, it was a really special moment between yourself and Blas and James and also Jendrik as well. After the telly vote results came in, which of course was not the result you wanted, but it was incredible to see the way that all of you reacted to the news. How do you look back on that now?
Oh, I haven't. I realize now that I haven't really looked back at that moment yet. But I think I did see my reaction to those results back like shortly after, and I think that I reacted from just a place of gratitude, like even though it wasn't what the public appreciated, like I still got to do it, right? And I still gave it 110%. I'm still very proud of the my entry and all of the, because I know all of the hard work that everybody puts into it. So and I think that's always a good way to deal with, I guess, setbacks or things that don't turn out the way you want them to.
We move on to the Netherlands. The Netherlands, you have received from the public 0 points.
Just saying, I did my best, right? And I'm, that's all you can do. And at the end of the day, it's a competition, right? So, there will be a winner. There will be people who don't win. So, it's just part of the deal.
Presumably, it doesn't take away from your love for Birth of a New Age, because it was such a brilliant song, and the reaction and its importance as well was just brilliant to see as the weeks went on and after the song was released in March. So you must feel so much love for the song that you created.
I really feel a lot of love for the song. And I've gotten so many personal messages. When I got home, there was this letter on my front door, and it was from my neighbor who was married to a Syrian refugee. And they have little kids. And it was a very personal message about how he connected to the song and how he was talking about it all the time, and that it really inspired him, and that it showed him that it's okay not to, to be different, or that message of self-worth really touched him. And it was amazing, because like, it's a 9-year-old kid, but like there were lots of those kind of messages that found their way to me. And that's the thing I appreciate most. And it's the way you value some things. Like, of course, it's amazing to get like that recognition and that love from the masses. But the smaller gestures of appreciation are also worth a lot to me.
We are the fruit adorning the legacy of every forgotten revolutionary, born in resilience, proud like a lion. We are the birth of a new age. You know my block on me. You know my block on me. You know my block on me.
Is it moments like that that make everything that is so difficult about being an artist worthwhile? Because, of course, for every brilliant moment people see on television or when people go to your concerts, there are so many more moments where there's difficult times as well. So do those moments just make it all worthwhile?
Yeah, I would dare to say that that's the reason why I make music, to connect with people.
And is it that sort of inspiration that you've now taken away and, you know, have done previously and will continue to do with the music that we've got to look forward to coming up and the tour and everything that we've got to expect from you in the future?
Yeah. I think my mindset is always to create and not think too much about it, because I believe that, like, if I create from feelings that are authentic to me, and the more honest I am with what I create, the more universal it becomes. That's like a songwriting like philosophy that I really agree with, is that if you want it to be universal, you have to go even deeper and you have to be more honest. So that's what I'm doing now. But it was really this summer creating music. It was just this wave of inspiration that also gave me a lot of energy to keep making. And it was actually a long time ago that I felt that type of creative energy. So everything is it's not forced. It's just made out of passion and for the love of music. So I'm right now in the finishing touches, and I then have to remind myself, like, okay, but don't let the perfectionism take over, because, like, you can always almost ruin something by wanting it to be perfect. But people want to hear stuff that's real. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, it's very exciting what we've got to look forward to. Tell us a little bit about what we've got to look forward to, because there's the tour, but also the single that's out in November. I don't know how much you can tell us about it.
Ooh, how much can I tell you about it? I already have like two studio albums on my name, and this is the third. And I'm actually going back to my roots, because I usually have a very soulful sound, and that's this album. It's a very warm, romantic, dreamy sound, and it has good vibes. It also has some darker parts, but in general, it's like I want it to be an album that you, because it was written in the summer, that you put on a warm summer night, and you're just laying in your bed and just looking out of the window and listening to the city sounds and just drifting off. And I think that's the kind of vibe I was going for. And I can also say that the first single is a collaboration with an artist that I really enjoy, really, really appreciate and really admire here. And he's from the Netherlands. Oh, it's a he. But I can't reveal too much yet. But and the album is coming next year in the spring.
So you're just the man that keeps giving. We get a single, we get a whole album. It's very exciting.
What I also found out reaffirmed to me is that, you know, I just have I have a creative soul, so I'll always keep making, the stuff, you know, then the music is going to come, whether it's for Eurovision or whether it's for like just what I want to make. It's always gonna find its way to, it's always gonna find its way out.
Yeah. Your association with Eurovision continued, as you said, you were one of the judges for the junior Eurovision Dutch selection, of course. What was it like to, you've already mentioned what it was like to be back in the arena, but what was it like to be back within the Eurovision family for the junior contest this year?
Oh, it was really nice. I always enjoy watching like young kids pursuing their passion, their dreams. Like, it's like it reminds me of when I was like a teenager, and like, oh, I have this dream, I want to stand and you know, I want to be on a stage and I want to sing in front of people. And also impressed, because like when I was 13, 14 years old, like, you know, I had to overcome a lot of stage fright, you know, to get to that point of like, you know, standing there and standing strong. Because like, I think there are not a lot of people who knew me when I was like a teenager who thought that I was going to do this one day. But, you know, it's very inspirational to see these kids just going for it and you know, I enjoyed it.
And are you able to pass on any advice as well? Of course, they're going to Paris in December for the contest. So have you been able to pass on any advice from your own experiences?
Well, we gave them feedback and just like during the show, like, so, you know, you have to enjoy it. Just be in the moment. But like the girl that's going to represent us, Ayana, she had difficulty with her voice on that day. And honestly, we didn't really notice. So if they didn't say anything, we wouldn't notice. And I told her, like, that's a good thing. Like, you know, if you can stand there and your voice is not 100%, but still, you know, put something get to that place where you emote and people are touched, you know, just do that and you know, who knows, you know.
And this is something that everyone's going to want to hear. Is that the end of your association with Eurovision going forward, or who knows what the future holds for you and Eurovision?
Who knows? It's like I it was an amazing experience, and I'd love to see other people also, like, you know, getting that chance, because it was amazing. I'm not ruling it out completely, but like for now, I'm just focusing on what I on my own stuff and my own music and my band, who I haven't played with that much in these last 2 years. But yeah, who knows? Never say never, but like not now or in maybe, I don't know.
Maybe you're writing for somebody else. I don't know. Maybe
writing for someone else. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm focused on my own stuff right now.
So let's finish with that then. As you said, you're focused on your own stuff. You've had a summer of inspiration. You've got the single. You've got the album.
Yeah.
What would you like to say to all of our listeners who, you know, have been with you, have been supporting you, and are just excited to find out what you've got in store?
Thank you for the support also during Eurovision, of course. I could not respond to every message on social media. So I don't know if you're someone who sent me a message and thought, oh, I'm disappointed that he didn't respond. I try to read everything, and even if I don't, you know, I feel very lucky and supported by your support and your warmth, and I hope you like the new music.
Zhongyu, thank you so much for chatting to us. It's been brilliant to have you on the Euro trip.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Euro trip.
Zhongyu McCrae on the Euro trip, and surely you agree, Rob, and you listening at home, that he has got to be one of the most likeable and wholesome artists who have ever graced the Eurovision stage. He just comes across so, so well, doesn't he? It's impossible not to like him.
Him and Mickey Jo Hart, I reckon, the most wholesome acts that have ever been on the Eurovision stage. It's not often you hear Zhongyu McCrae and Mickey Jo Hart in the same sentence, but both lovely people, and so nice to speak to Zhongyu again. I'd like to speak to him every week, like a therapist. He's just got one of those nice, sort of calming, relaxing voices that just makes you feel better about the world. And lovely to get him on. And don't forget, he's got new single out next month in November, new album coming in the new year. So it's going to be very, very nice to hear new stuff from Zhongyu. Maybe we can get Zhongyu's new single on when we are on our way to Paris for Junior Eurovision 2021.
I'm not entirely sure how that would make any sort of sense. But is it you just saying because you think you like the song, or
just, do you not listen to music when you travel?
Oh, right. I thought you meant we had to play it on the podcast for some reason.
Not necessarily. We can if you want.
Yeah, I feel like I just misunderstood what you were saying.
I feel like you misunderstand a lot of things. For goodness, I might do a podcast on my own again.
Well, also,
it's just easier, isn't it?
Well, are you going to try and let me get my excuse in?
It's no, probably not.
It's 9:10 in the morning. I'm not.
That's not late.
It's early. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh gosh. Anyway, should we try and wrap up today's?
I think what I meant to say is, it's not early. You're a student, aren't you? That's the problem. I've got you up before 9:00 in the week.
Oh dear. Should we do the 1 second song? And should I try and do a better job explaining what that is for new listeners than you did last week?
Yes, please. I think it's probably best that we head towards the end of this episode, because we're just bickering like old women at this point.
Let's do it then. The 1 second song. Loads of you know what it is by now, but if you're a new listener, it's the part of the show where we take them turns to play each other the very first second of a Eurovision song. You've just got to try and guess the 4 points available. There's one for the artist, one for the song title, one for the country it represented, and one for the year it took part in the Eurovision Song Contest. And it's me playing a song this week. Rob, are you ready?
I certainly am. Slightly apprehensive because it's been a while. You got back on the bike last week with your first chance to guess the 1 second song. You got it correct. You got all 4 points. I'm not sure I'm going to do the same, I'll be honest with you.
Well, there's only one way to find out. So for you, Rob, and you listening at home, of course, here is this week's 1 second song.
I mean, I don't think we need it twice, to be honest. We can have it twice, James, but I've already got it. The 4 points are coming my way.
Oh, really? Is it that easy for you this week?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. No shadow of a doubt, this is 4 points. I may be embarrassed. I might cry if I'm wrong, but I think I've got it.
Well, for those who are a little bit less confident than you, let's hear it one more time.
Now, you're going to think this is strange, but you could call this a premonition. I was humming along to this very song on a walk just 2 days ago.
You're kidding.
I'm not, and I don't know why. I don't know why it was in my head, because I don't even really like the song. But it was in there somewhere, which has been very helpful when it comes to guessing this week's 1 second song. Do you want me to go in with the answer?
Yeah, let's not wait any longer. Go for it.
Now, I believe this is the Netherlands, 2009, De Toppers with Shine.
Sadly... Well, sadly for me anyway, you are indeed 100% correct. Well done, Rob.
There are so many wars right now in this world. There are so many things not right. There are too many people hurt in this world. There are too many men that fight. Time is now to make the change. Time is on our side. Love will make us glow in the dark. So open up your heart. Are you ready for a brand new start? Shine. People, let your light shine. Let the darkness fade away. Step into a brighter day. Don't forget.
Me and you, look at us, 2 weeks in to the new series, if we're calling it that, I don't think we are, of the Eurotrip, and both of us getting a full house of points on the 1 second song. Gonna have to try harder.
Honestly, if you rewind the clock by a year, if you scroll back in your podcast feed, if you're a new listener and don't quite know how bad we used to be at this, go and listen to some of the early episodes and find out just how bad we used to be at the 1 second song. It was abysmal.
I think it took us until about December last year for us to get our first points, honestly. It was ridiculous, but we've come a long way since then.
Normally as well, recently when we've been doing the 1 second song, it has been tied to the episode in some way. I think it's fairly easy to figure out the tie it has to this week's episode. Do you want to have a guess at that as well?
Oh, you're going to make me go down to that level, are you? Okay, sure. Yeah, Jean-Guy McCroy represented the Netherlands, and so did De Toppers in 2009. Is that it?
But of course, one of the hosts this year in 2021...
Everybody's favourite, Jan Smit, of course!
Of course, for those who don't know, he is a member of De Toppers, which all makes a lot more sense. So it's more clever than you thought it was originally.
I was watching, for the purposes of my interview with Jongu, some of Eurovision 2021 the other day, and I think I've come to the conclusion that Jan Schmidt is my favourite Eurovision host of all time. There's just something very likeable about him.
He's great, isn't he? Actually, the whole team this year was a great hosting lineup. Maybe. Should we try and get on the phone to some of them, see if they want to join us on the podcast in the coming weeks or so?
I think we could. I'll take any of them. Chantal, Edcilia, Nikki, Jan, any of you. If you're listening, come on.
I'm amazed you remember them all, actually. Well done on that, honestly. You were getting halfway through and I thought he's going to forget one of them here, but no, well done. Well done for getting through them all. And speaking of well done for getting through it all, well done for you listening at home for getting through all of today's episode. It's great to have you along all the way through. Of course, we'll be back again next Wednesday, unless some dramatic breaking news happens again and Rob happens to hop on again this coming Friday. So until we're back with you again, you can get in touch with us, of course, at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. It would be great to find out whether you were as good as Rob on this week's 1 second song. So do let us know how you got on with that.
I certainly would. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, we'll be joined again next week by another of the Eurovision Class of 2021. Hopefully. At the moment, that is very TBC. But stay tuned, I would say, for that, because it'd be exciting to see who we're joined by.
But we also do have a backup in case that doesn't happen. And that is a very exciting backup who I spoke to many months ago, many moons ago, that we just haven't played yet. So that could be very exciting to find out who that might be.
But they don't know they're a backup, so don't tell them. We are delighted to have them, and they may be here next week, but who knows. But until then, it has been wonderful to join you. Thank you for being here. You may have heard me attempt to fill James's role and tell you the three things you need to do at the end of last Friday's episode, and I forgot one of them. So James, remind us, what does everybody listening need to do?
Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. And from me, James, this week, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye. I might do it very quickly here at the start of the news.
Yeah, let's do that, actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I might bring the rabbit into it. It's a sentence you don't want to hear.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.